Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this brand new episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast. I am your co-host, Brad, along with the other award-winning co-host,
Steve.
That would be your cue. Thank you for hitting your mark today.
Hey.
Welcome
back. Thank
you
for hitting your mark.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. I just appreciate you showing up.
Well, good, because that's what we're getting today.
That's what we're getting. We're getting all of you.
All of it.
All of you. So yeah. Now that we're here, this episode, roughly mid-June, we're past the 200 episode gala. Woohoo! Yay!
Woo!
We're coming up, you know, summer season. Things are chugging along.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of set the tone before the show, and unexpectedly, I'm like, hey, you know what? Today's topic is going to be about uncertainty.
Mm. Okay.
And the uncertainty in business and life and all the things, all the shit that's out of our control.
And all the things. Wow, this is really broad.
All the things that are out of our control, right? So, and I think each generation has a very unique perspective on how what can or cannot be controlled or different along the way, right? And the reason I say that is I'm sitting here or recording here in April and you know, we just had storms roll through and
yes,
tornado a mile and a half away, 7 inches of rain, water all over the place. I'm blessed that we only had water and no power for 18 hours. I don't have a hole in the middle of my roof. I don't have trees in my house. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of those things that many other people have happened with that all that uncertainty.
Right.
But I had a network of friends and clients and folks that were like, hey, what do you need? What can we help you with? What's going on? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know that every generation has built up that opportunity to deal with things from uncertainty.
No, they haven't.
And when I knew my power was out and I needed to go get I knew my sump pump was not going to run and my battery backup wasn't going to be lasting very long. To send the text out for, hey, anybody have a generator that I could borrow? To send that text out was like painful as fuck.
Yeah. Why is that? Why was it painful as?
Because that's not what I do.
Oh, you don't ask for help? Is that what you're?
Yes. So we're going to take the old person perspective. Oh,
I know. Yeah, I mean, that's just so boomer of you.
Right, just being able to send that out and go forward, and then my buddy's like, "Hey, my wife's place of work, they've got one. Here you go." Comes on over. He's over in 20 minutes, and the client reaches out, "Hey, I know what's going on here. So let me see if we got a generator sitting there. Billy will get to the office. Blah blah blah." He brought one over, so I had two generators here within an hour of sending out information.
That's fantastic.
It was getting through. Now, why I didn't do that 4 hours earlier?
Mm-hmm.
To save thousands of gallons of water from going down my drain in my basement.
Right.
Right. My own hurdle and roadblock. But that uncertainty that showed up, it's like, okay, those things were within my control to be able to do.
Right.
To be able to go out and ask for support, ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the store, potentially to go buy one, do whatever, you know, have things within control. Mm-hmm. But instead said, nope, I'm just going to use the resources that I have available to me like I'm on fucking Lost or on Naked and Afraid. We're just using whatever's there.
Right? So looking at this from a business perspective, essentially what we're really getting at is, you know, what's your game plan for when crap happens, right? It really comes down to what's your business continuity plan for when...
Those are big words.
They are.
Business continuity plan. Now you're bringing back your engineering days.
Well, you know, those are words that work for some, but it's, I mean, what for some, but it really comes down to what's, what, let's just, what is the plan of attack for when things happen? Power shuts down, your internet goes out, right? Your main server goes out, AWS goes out, right? Shuts down everything, shuts down tens, thousands, millions of people for a period of time. Business still operates. World still turns.
Does it?
The world still turns, but businesses, most people, freak out because they don't know what the thing is they need to do when they don't have access to that information. But see, you knew what to do. You just had to, one, calm ourselves now to go, okay, I need power. Who can help me? And you get your generator, right? I've got it worked out. Like, if I lose power, I still may or may not have internet. If mm-hmm. I don't have internet, okay, what am I doing? I
half the time, even when you have internet, you don't have internet.
Well, there is that, but
you're glitching right now.
but the reality is okay, where am I going? Where is an alternative location I can go if I really need internet access?
Or hotspot your phone.
Well, I had to do something else for my phone because my phone doesn't always work in my location. So I actually had to buy an extender, an LTE extender. And now I don't have any issues with getting reception.
Oh, so you won't drop a call when you move from the garage to the house?
Correct. Might drop a call if I move from my car to the garage. That's besides the point.
That's a different
topic.
The thing
is all of these things. So if I lose power, my LTE extender goes out. Cell phone becomes inoperable almost, right? Don't have internet. What do you do, right? As a business owner, what are the plans to continue the operation going? Not just sit there and go, oh crap, I don't know what to do. I don't have anything. Guess I'm just going to go through and do the maintenance around here that I should do that I've been putting off. Could do that.
Right.
Right. Or if there's something business critical, what are those things?
So all the things that you did from a business perspective with COVID, right? So mm-hmm. when COVID hit, right after COVID, oh, here's our emergency response. Here's all of our plans. Here's all our things, all of our stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
People spent hours upon hours upon hours figuring those things out. If somebody can't be here, if all this happens, but they didn't talk about the infrastructure.
Correct.
They didn't talk about flood. They didn't talk about power. They didn't talk about mm-hmm. other things. What's your stance on expectation of different employees? I have one client where mm-hmm. heavy rains, they have a warehouse supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a retiree who isn't retired, but is still there working pretty much full time and mid-70s-ish, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
The other working supervisor that's actually the W-2 employee is probably 40s-ish, right? Mm-hmm. Late millennial, young Gen X. Okay, it's heavy rain. Yep, I know I closed everything when I left. I did all the things. Well, how come you didn't come check on the building during this heavy rain?
Why would I?
Well, that was kind of the point of, but now there's this contentious battle between these two individuals
mm-hmm.
as to, well, how come you didn't come check on the building?
But why would I? Still don't know why I would. Why do I need to do that? What is me checking on the building going to do?
Well, making sure there? That we can do what we making. Well, is it still there? Is our customer's product still in good shape? Do we need to move things around? Do we need to protect anything? What's all happening? Right. So the expectations of what happens in situations like this.
Yep.
Or in those things are depending on your job role and what's going on. And what is the expectation to have happen? Are you expected to leave your family and go take care of the business? Mm-hmm. Or are you expected to say, hey, take care of your family first because that's what's more important. Mm-hmm. Then we'll deal with what we need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
What is the expectation?
Right.
And that is a big time generational shift for that, for sure, because the shift to family first versus the business is my identity,
mm-hmm.
right? The maintenance guy that the maintenance guy for the manufacturing firm that right, drove through. Well, I got in my truck and I drove through that 3 feet of water. It was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fucking idiot? Are you an idiot? I mean, what are you doing driving through 3 feet of water in your truck? You know, go around, find a detour, do something. Well, I made it through. Wasn't a big deal. Great.
Yeah. I mean, in northern Michigan, we have a lot of flooding going on right now. Dams breaking. Dams are over capacity, right? And so
well, that's what happens with 300 inches of snow.
Yeah, right. And, but looking at right, in the downriver, if you will, let's just say you've got companies that are lining the river. And usually they're smaller businesses, mm-hmm. usually, right? And it could be an HVAC. You could have a plumber. You could have an electrical company. It doesn't matter. Let's just, you know, one of those. And to your point, right, flooding, they got the evacuation notice. You need to evacuate, potential to evacuate, right? What's the plan to keep the business moving forward if you can't go to your office? Or your warehouse location.
Well, and theoretically, the COVID plan probably took care of that piece of it from can't go to the office.
Potentially, if people did anything with it.
It's in a binder.
Well, but in COVID, you could go back to your office in a flood situation where you can't get to your office.
True. Well,
right.
No, technically you couldn't. Technically, in some places you couldn't go to your office because if you left your house, you were right. There was essentially were under house arrest in some areas of the country.
Well, but those were considered essential. Trades got considered essential,
right?
After a period, but right. So they could go to their business location, get their stuff out of their warehouse, go do the thing. Right. In a situation that you can't control because of Mother Nature, what do you do? Right. You could file insurance claims and do all of that and wait and do nothing. But you and your employees, where are you getting your paychecks from?
Well,
where's the money coming into the business?
There's a whole nother unexpected right. piece of policy and procedure of.
Mm-hmm.
Another client, we had this situation earlier in the spring when we had our 24 inches of snow and you know, we had the big mm-hmm. blizzard in March. Okay. Business is open. You kind of said, you know, 2/3 of the staff showed up. The other staff members like, hey, do I need to come in? Well, you know, that's up to you to decide if you can make it or not. Do I mm-hmm. pay them or not pay them because they made the decision mm-hmm. not to show up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, it comes down to what is the plan to keep moving forward when things that you can't control happen? Because in eventually they will. So how do you keep that? How would you recommend keeping that top of mind to our audience?
There's so many different factors that are involved based on your job role, your company, your different things, your, I think it's a matter of when you have a situation that occurs and it's chaos, that you are business owner brave enough to recognize whether or not it was a shit show or whether it was a good situation. Most likely it didn't work out well for mm-hmm. for half the staff somewhere along the line or whatever, and there's tension or discomfort. Correct. Or your number one customer's pissed off because they don't care. Their stuff was supposed to be on a plane or out the door mm-hmm. or their big thing. They're not going to care. I think that has changed a little bit in our society. When things are happening and the understanding of stuff,
mm-hmm.
because we've sensationalized Mother Nature so much that there's so much awareness of it and recognition of, you know, oh, flights are being canceled. Oh, flights are being canceled. That means FedEx isn't leaving, and if FedEx can't move around, why, you know, what's,
yep,
your Amazon package might be delayed 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could have gotten your car and gone out of the store and got the same thing. Had it in 20 correct. Minutes, but you opted to go and try to order it. Now you're pissed off that it didn't show up at my doorstep. Hmm. But I could have went to the store 2 miles away to go get it, but I opted not to.
Yep.
And I'm angry because somebody didn't deliver it to me versus me going to go get it. Okay. That I don't understand, but that's me. I'm the old guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the plan is, I think it's just setting up the expectation after you go through a situation, say, okay, let's put this down in writing. What has to happen? You know, COVID, I think took, if you follow your COVID plans and you put them together, you've taken care of your technology resource activity. You've identified, this is what we need to do. We need to contact our IT provider. We need to get the VPNs. We need to do this. We should have laptops and I can log in from my phone, whatever that is. You should have, that piece should have already been taken care of from a COVID viewpoint. If it wasn't, shame on you, because there were thousands of people telling you to make sure that that was to happen and you decided not to. That's bad on you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
From the rest of it, though, who shows up, who's expected to show up, who's in charge of the building, who's not in charge of the building, who's the backup when, you know, so-and-so's on vacation, those types of things, that I think is a great team exercise to kind of go through by various departments, various roles, because there might be some equipment that is super vital to the organization that you need to protect at all costs, and you need to sandbag the hell out of it or make sure that there's enough tarp over it. So if the roof decides to leak or whatever, at least you've taken whatever, you've controlled the things that you can control to take the precautions to do so.
Correct.
If your roof gets blown off, there's nothing you're going to do to do that, and you have no control over that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The other thing this, what we're talking about helps with is, hey, you know, John, he's got 25 years of experience and he decided to quit. And guess what? He's not coming back.
Were you reading my post today?
Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But at the end of the day, right?
No, I'm serious. I'm serious because I just posted that today.
I'm well aware of what you did. I am aware of what you did.
So is that a yes?
Right, you can take it whatever you want. Aware of what you posted.
No,
I am aware of what you posted.
This is a yes or a no question.
I know what the question is. I like to be difficult with the answer.
Can I treat the witnesses hostile, Your Honor?
Yeah, sure. You can try. You could try.
Your Honor, these two utes over here.
But in reality, it also helps set you up for really also understanding who is in a critical role for your organization, not just equipment, not just procedures and stuff like that, but also who is in those critical roles. And you should also start thinking about, what are we doing with those critical roles? How are we helping to protect ourselves if situations were to pop up? How are we going to not allow that situation to control us in a negative way?
It's a decision, obviously, right? You get to decide how you're going to.
Well, correct. You do get to decide. It is a decision. You do get to decide, but it's less of a emotional decision when you already have plans in place.
True. Try and take away the emotion out of all of that, right? And, you know, so if you have an organization where, you know, your docs get flooded on a regular basis and you don't feel like dealing with them, but it takes 4 hours to sandbag them or to put whatever those little diversion walls or whatever you're going to put around them to make that happen. And somebody's got to come in and do that on the weekend. okay, do you bonus them out for that weekend? Do you do something? Do you, how do you rotate that around? Do you put it as part of your on-call process? Mm-hmm. What do you do to make sure that it's not, right. Well, like, it's supposed to rain today, honey. I can't go to the company pic. I can't go to our family reunion picnic 2 hours away because it might rain and I got to take care of the docks. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm confident that happens around the country on a regular basis. There's guys that are willing to say, I don't want to go to the family picnic. I'd rather be in case it rains, right? Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't have to put yourself in position to have your employees make that decision between family or the organization. This is... Mm-hmm. This is 2026, not 1964.
Correct.
Right. And that is not acceptable. I don't care what generation you're part of. That is becoming less and less and less of a acceptable pattern mm-hmm. than ever before across all generations.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly.
So what would be your suggestion to help minimize the opportunity for chaos and stress and emotion?
I mean, I feel like I'm a little more pragmatic. I actually want
you
to
feel
have,
or you are.
I feel I am. I do. I actually want a written list. I actually want it written out. Yeah, it can be electronic, but I actually want it printed out as well. Where people can actually see this is our response plan, whether it's a critical piece of equipment, a critical employee, a critical act of something higher power impacting your business, like whatever that is, people need to know what to do. And if you don't have it clearly listed out, you're going off memory. You're making it up on the fly, right? You have to get over that emotional trigger first to start thinking rationally. Okay, this is what I need to do. This is who I need to call. Oh, I got to find this number. I got to find this number. I got to do all of that. If you already have it listed out, spend the time to list it out well in advance.
Would you make a nice if-then Venn diagram, flow diagram? What would you end up?
I'm not making no damn Venn diagram.
You are the engineer.
I'll tell you how I'll tell you how I feel about Ben's.
Nice little 8D corrective action for all of this.
I mean, you could just a 5Y. That's all you need. And then, I mean, the only reason you're doing 8Ds is because you didn't do the shit you said you were supposed to do. So,
oh, we did
at the end
of
the day.
We did it. We did exactly.
Well, you did
but it went out the door. There's the problem.
Yeah.
The only thing we didn't do is we didn't stop it from going out the door.
Right. Anyways,
we digress.
Yeah. No, it's just when you spend time to write this stuff down, you start thinking about all these other things as well that could happen. And it's really good to get that out. Get that all out now.
Right.
While you can, versus going in reactive mode, like, oh, yeah, I wish we would have done this. And then usually when we're in reactive mode, I wish we would have. And guess what? The next thing comes up and we didn't do it because I wish I would have.
Right.
Versus, no, I get to take the responsibility to do it now, so I don't have to worry about it.
Correct. I've got two generators because I took action. I got two generators in my garage right now for when the storms hit again tonight, that if something were to fail, I have them here. And after these storms are gone tonight, then I can actually return them. Because I don't know.
It's supposed to rain.
Because I don't know if they temp powered the situation or not, or if they permanently fixed it with all the damage, all the things. You know, I just don't know. You know, so.
Right.
You know, we're out. So this is the irony, right? So our subdivision, our area, our neighborhood was out for essentially 10 hours, 13, 12 hours, 10 hours from 6:30 to like mm-hmm. 5 a.m. However, our house mm-hmm. didn't have power.
Yep.
So I reported back to to We Energies, hey, no power, no yep. power, no power. And I'm like, I'm the only one that's got, I look at the map, look at the stuff. There's only one, it's only me. I'm like, huh. So I email my electrician. I say, hey, how do I know if this is a me problem or a them problem?
Right.
Tell me a simple way to figure it out. Yeah. He sends me back a note saying, hey, go out and look at your meter. If the LEDs are on, you're getting power to the meter. and then it could be something else and something different. So I took a video of the meter, sent it to him as it was flashing through all its stuff. He goes, there's this error code you have here that I'm not familiar with, so you need to call We Energies. So I call We Energies.
Yeah.
So I call We Energies the first time early in the morning, like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hour, 21 minute wait, hold time. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
I can't. I'm just like, I got other things to do. I can't sit on the phone for an hour, 20 minutes because I got to use my phone for some things and make this all happen.
Mm-hmm.
Go do my stuff, call back. And this time, instead of going through the report power outage, I use the verbal connection of reconnect power. Not power outage, but reconnect.
Okay.
I got to a human being.
Yeah.
She took care of it. She's like, oh, hey, yeah, because I want to just talk through the air code. Is there something I can do? Can they remote reset my meter? What could they do along the way? Because it's all RF, all remote meter stuff. I'm like, so she's like, hang on, let me talk to somebody. She goes, talk to somebody, comes back. Hey, now I got to figure out how to write the service ticket. Comes back. 2.5 hours later, We Energy shows up on my doorstep as I'm getting ready to go to Menard. I'm getting ready to back out of my driveway, go get a bunch of stuff, expecting power to be gone for another day and a half. I'm going to go get ice. I'm going to go get stuff. I'm going to go get all these things. And it's like, they show up. She says, go turn off your breaker. Okay, cool. Pulls off the meter, does her thing, checks all the connections, puts the new meter on, says, go turn your switch back on. We should have power. Turn it back on. Everything's up. I'm like, you're a magic elf. You're magic. She was there. She was here. She was here for 5 minutes. That was the other part. It was a lady service tech. She grew up in Illinois. Dad had a weld shop. She grew up welding, doing different things, got into electrician, wanted to do something, and has been at We Energies for 10 years as a service tech. Doing all different things, and like, huh, cool. Well, thank you. You're magic today, and I appreciate you for being here. She's like, I would have been here sooner, and I know more. I'm like, it's all good. You're here way sooner than I expected.
Well, that's good.
So
that's good.
So preparing for that is ideally to prepare for it. So after I get done with this, I'm going to go get my second sump pump. So I have a new sump pump in the back. So just in case.
Oh, yeah.
From a background perspective and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
All the fun things, because I'm not doing this because we probably pumped about 160,000 gallons of water over the last 3 days.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why I actually have two sump pump, extra sump pumps, brand new, sitting in the box, cast iron, sitting in my garage waiting, so I don't have to run to the store to go get it.
This was the replacement from a while ago. The inventory was consumed. I did not replace the inventory,
right?
But we did replace. But we did get the battery backup, which was great until the battery runs out and
already done. Yeah, exactly.
Well, my wife was like, well, how does that, like, it's like 4 hours of source time. Usually we're not right. It's 4 hours. If we're out for longer than that, you're not going to get that. So then we got to find an alternate source. So we'll see what happens.
Fun times.
Yep. At least I didn't need the heat and furnace. So that was good. I didn't have to worry about that and freezing to death and the dog and that type of stuff. So.
Yep, been there.
So that's good. So
Alrighty,
sir. Have a wonderful rest of your afternoon.
You too as well.
Thank you so much for discussing a little bit of uncertainty. And it happens every day. It's a matter how you decide to deal with uncertainty will either create great leadership opportunities or throw your organization into chaos. You get to decide.
It's a choice. You decide.
So, all right. Till next time, sir. We will see you soon.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.